Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the why question with The Wicked Stopped. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. We have been studying and considering the puzzling why question. Why God allows this world to be such a mess? Why He allows wickedness to continue? Our world faces many problems, and not all of them are just caused by nature, and not all of them are just caused by death. But many problems are caused by the wicked and by the iniquity of men. And we've all probably wondered at some time or other why God allows wicked people to keep going, to keep succeeding, to keep seeming to win, and to enjoy success and wealth and so forth. Well, we have been facing the reality from Scripture that the Bible teaches this will not always be the case. The Bible teaches that iniquity is someday going to end. Now, I've defined iniquity as perverseness. When men are contrary to God in all they do and pay no attention to His precepts and don't do what He said. And Adam's race is in chaos today because of iniquity. I argue that if iniquity in this world is ever going to end, there's only one who can do it, and that is God. And believing in an all-powerful, all-strong, all-wise, all-able God, I can't believe for a second that He couldn't bring the iniquity of the world to an end if He wanted to. And I hope none of my listeners believe that either. I hope you believe in an all-powerful God. So the question isn't can He, but will He bring an end to iniquity? And to answer that question, all we can do is turn to the Bible. And that's what we've been doing. We've been going through the Psalms, and I've been going through them not in any particular logical order, but just in order through the book, through Psalms that declare an end of iniquity. And last time, we had gotten through Psalm 37. Today, I want to start up in Psalm 46. And in Psalm 46, and starting in verse 6, another passage that talks about this end of iniquity, end of wickedness on earth. Psalm 46, 6 says, "The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, He uttered His voice, the earth melted." So here we have a picture of the nations on earth, and it's a picture that's very similar to the nations right now. They are raging. They are moving. They are in turmoil. They are constantly changing. They are constantly evolving or devolving. They are constantly maybe degenerating. But whatever they're doing, they're constantly on the move. They're constantly changing. Nations don't stay stable. They don't stay solid. They don't stay the same. They're constantly in turmoil. They're constantly changing. And yet then it says that He, that is God, uttered His voice and the earth melted. In other words, it became like fluid. If they thought of melting back then, they would have thought not so much of ice like we would, but of wax. Wax melts, allowing it to be reshaped. And so when the nations on earth melt, this will allow God to reshape them as He sees fit. Now this happens, the melting of the nations, and they're being made pliable and alterable by God so He can make them as He sees fit. This all happens by Him uttering His voice, by Him speaking and announcing His presence to the world. And the result, verse 7, is, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge," Selah. "Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth." Now this talks about God making desolations in the earth. And this is where a lot of people like to step in and say, aha, see, there it proves it. God is going to desolate the earth. And there have been plenty of people who have predicted that someday there's going to be a nuclear war. There's going to be a terrible war, a war to end all wars. Greater, far greater than World War I, that a lot of people call the war to end all wars. That it's going to wipe out the inhabitants of the earth. It's going to largely denude the planet. There'll only be a few people left on it. And they try to pull it from verses like this. And One favorite passage they turn to is Isaiah 24 that talks about the earth being destroyed and few people on it. Well, see, what they refuse to acknowledge is the fact that in Hebrew, the word for earth and the word for land is the same word, eretz. And it's from the context you need to learn what it's talking about. In the context of Isaiah 24 is that Isaiah was anticipating Babylon conquering Judah. And when Babylon conquered Judah, they killed most of its inhabitants. And those they didn't, they took into captivity and they carried away to Babylon. And the land was all but empty. All its inhabitants were either dead or deported. And so the land sat empty, denuded of its inhabitants. It was destroyed. And so when Isaiah 24 talks about the eretz being empty, almost no men left on it, it's destroyed, it's talking about the land of Israel after Babylon. It's not talking about some imaginary nuclear war that wipes out almost all the inhabitants of the earth. No, the Bible talks about no such thing. This is just the empty imaginations of frightened men. But this is not the teaching of the Bible. But what about this verse that talks about God making desolations in the earth? Doesn't that indicate some kind of nuclear war that wipes everybody out? Well, no, because look at the context. Just go on to verse 9, and we can see what kind of things will be desolated. It says, He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. So the kinds of things he desolates are the means of war. The means of war is going to be desolated. Think about if war and warfare came to an end. What would happen to all our great military bases? All our military institutions? All our military colleges? What would happen to the Army and the Navy and the Air Force and the Marines if war was made to end? Well, they would be desolated. Those Army bases would be abandoned and empty or else repurposed for other things. And the Army and Navy and Air Force and Marines and National Guard and all this, well, they would come to an end. At least as far as being instruments of warfare, maybe the National Guard would still be around to rescue people from drowning and things like that. But if war ended, these things would be desolated. That's the kind of things he's talking about being desolated. And these things being desolated is a blessing that war ends, not a curse. Now, he breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. Now, that's not to say that when this happens, bows and spears will be the common weapons of warfare. No, see, those were the instruments of war in that day, and they're just used symbolically for instruments of war. And if you think about it, a gun is just kind of an advance on a bow. And a missile is just kind of an advance on a spear. It's the same technology, but this is talking about the instruments of war, that they'll be destroyed. And a chariot, well, you advance on that and you get a tank. Well, these things will be broken and cut in two and burned. And warfare will be desolated. So that's a great example of the kind of desolations God is going to make in the earth. He's not going to wipe out the earth with nuclear warfare. He's going to desolate things like the weapons and means of war. And I believe there'll be other things that'll be desolated too, like the whole medical establishment. When God brings health and healing to earth, there won't be a need for hospitals and doctors and pharmacies and pharmaceutical companies. These things will be desolate. But they'll be desolate because sickness and disease will have come to an end. It'll be a blessing, not a curse. Then think about the vice industries. Think about the places where pornographic magazines are printed. And the pornographic centers where the studios where they take these pictures and come up with these pornographic things. Think if those were desolated. What a blessing that would be. And so forth. The drug dens where drugs are made and the fields where they're grown and all this. Think if these things were desolated. See, the desolations the Lord are going to make in the earth are a blessing, not a curse, not nuclear war wiping out the earth. And then see what he says in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. He's going to just tell the earth to be still. Think of, like I said, all the activity and all the chaos and all the people running here and there and keeping busy and entertaining themselves and doing anything but think about God. And someday the Lord is going to speak and he's just going to say, be still, stop, cease. Stop all your wild and crazy activity. Stop all your chaos and just stop and think and know that I'm God. Just think about the fact that I'm God, that I'm out there and that you are responsible toward me. Then he says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And this is when God's going to bring iniquity to an end, when he's exalted among the nations in the earth. Now, I'd like to speak for a minute to all those who call themselves amillennialists, and all those who call themselves preterists, and all those who say that there is no kingdom of God on earth in the future. God never is going to take control of the earth. He's never going to reign here in a physical kingdom. No, he's just going to destroy the world and take us all off to heaven and send the wicked all off to hell. I say to you that God speaks to you, not me. You could call me a chiliast or whatever you want to call me, but I'm not the one who says this. God says to you, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. If you go on being an amillennialist and you go on being a preterist, then you are not believing what God says here. You simply aren't believing it. Because God says that this is going to be. That he is going to be lifted high among all nations. That he is going to be lifted high in all the earth. Not as he's destroying it, but as he's governing it. Well, let's go on to Psalm 64. Another passage that talks about this. We're going to go through this whole psalm, because this, I think, is a very pivotal psalm when it comes to God bringing an end to iniquity and telling us just how he does it. Psalm 64, verse 1, he says, hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. And indeed, we too today could pray that God would preserve our lives from fear of the enemy, not just that we wouldn't die, but what the enemy could do to us. And we see, as I have talked about, as men try to prevail over God in morality and overthrow God's moral standards for different ones, that they want to make those of us who hold God's moral standards out to be wicked, awful people. Just despicable people for holding with God's standards rather than the new ones they're trying to put forward in their place. And this causes God's people to fear, to be afraid. What could happen to me if I stand up for God's morality instead of the common morality being touted by the wicked today? Well, we well might pray to God, preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Verse 2, hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity. And even today, it's clear that there are secret plots and have been going on secret plots that are being plotted and schemed by men who are determined to make everyone just as wicked as they are. See, they aren't satisfied just to be and let be, just to be wicked and let other people be righteous if they want to. No, they won't rest until everyone holds their same wicked standards, until everyone approves of the same wicked practices that they approve of, until there's no one to stand up and say that this is wrong, until everyone is just as wicked as they are. They are plotting and they are scheming to bring that about. And that is all ultimately rebellion of the workers of iniquity against God. They're not just against those of us who hold with God's standards. They're against God. They're rebels against him. And they have their plots and their schemes to destroy the righteous. Verse 3, who sharpen their tongue like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, bitter words. See, they often work through their words against God and against all that is right. And it's their words that they use as their weapons to destroy the righteous. Verse 4, that they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly do they shoot at him and do not fear. So they're preparing their bitter words against people who in God's sight are blameless. They're good people. They're people who hold with good moral standards with what's right and wrong. And yet these wicked people prepare their words to destroy just such people. Verse 5, they encourage themselves in an evil matter. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who will see them? And we regularly will find articles and news stories and videos on the internet and stories on internet news sites and et cetera, et cetera. And these stories all encourage, they're written by wicked men encouraging other wicked men in evil matters, encouraging them to be evil and to keep on doing evil. Verse 6, they devise iniquities. We have perfected a shrewd scheme. Both the inward thought and the heart of man are deep. So they devise iniquities. They make up new ways to be wicked. The old wickedness isn't good enough for them. They need to seek out and search out new ways to be wicked. And they're not satisfied, though they've discovered the newest and the latest craze for being wicked. But what is God going to do about this? What is God going to do about people like this? We find out starting in verse 7. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. Now, this speaks of God's arrow. And what is God's arrow? Remember what the wicked people's arrow was back in verse 3. It was bitter words. But God is going to prepare an arrow of his own. And God's arrow is his own word. And his word he's going to shoot into the world. His word is sharp, and it is suddenly going to wound all these workers of iniquity. Not one will be missed. God's arrow is not going to fly wide of the mark. It will wound all these workers of iniquity. Verse 8, so he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away. Now this matter of stumbling over their own tongue might be better translated that they will give themselves a tongue lashing. Now imagine this. Imagine if all the people on television and in the media and on the internet and in our communities and at your workplace, all the people who tout wickedness, who support wickedness, who stand up for wickedness, who loudly crow about how good wickedness is and how tolerant they are to approve of it. If all these people were suddenly made to turn around and give themselves a tongue lashing, to say of themselves, how could I have been so blind? How could I have been so insane as to say and do all the wicked things I did? Imagine what that would be like. All these self-righteous pundits all over the world who are setting forth their wicked standards, if they suddenly castigated themselves for doing this. Now it says, all who see them shall flee away. A better translation would be, all who see them shall shake their heads. And as people see these wicked men who had formerly proudly and loudly declared their loyalty and their approval of wickedness, when they see them castigating and giving themselves a tongue lashing for this, well, they'll just shake their heads. They'll say, how can this be? And yes, how could these people have been so blind and so insane as to support what they did? Verse 9, all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing. So the result is that all men will fear. This will bring the fear of God on all men, universal awe, respect, and reverence toward God. Because they'll all be talking about his works and wisely thinking about them. See, today we have the problem that so many people don't really think about God at all. They don't think about his works. They don't think about his claims on them. But someday people are going to be thinking about this and talking about it, and that will be wise. And the result for the righteous, verse 10, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. And indeed, what a glorious thing it will be to see when God does this, when God shoots the arrow of his word against the workers of iniquity and brings their wickedness to an end. Moving on from this, and this is a magnificent psalm, Psalm 64. I hope you've gotten a lot out of it. But moving on to Psalm 92. Psalm 92 and verse 7. It says, when the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. So the wicked that seem to be springing up everywhere like grass, and the workers of iniquity that seem to flourish and prosper in our day. Well, don't think that's because they're going to win. It's just so that they may be finally destroyed forever. And that again is Olam outflowing. God will destroy them by a flow that will ever continue. He'll never reverse it. He'll never decide, oh, okay, I'll let you wicked people back again. No, they'll be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. You're on high for the outflow. You're exalted for the outflow. For behold your enemies, O Lord. For behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. See, it says it right there, and I believe it. All the workers of iniquity are someday going to be scattered. All God's enemies are someday going to perish. God is not going to allow wickedness to continue. Moving on to Psalm 104. In verse 35. Psalm 104:35 says, may sinners be consumed from the earth, and the wicked be no more. Now, will the time ever come when the sinners and the wicked will be no more on earth? Well, again, I believe the prayer prophecy principle applies here. That when God inspires a prayer, that prayer is not just a prayer wishing that God would do something. That prayer is stating that what God is going to do in the future. And someday, sinners are going to be consumed up from the earth, and the wicked are going to be no more. And do you believe it? Do you believe that the time will come when sinners and the wicked will be no more on earth? Well, if this never takes place, then the scripture is just a puff of wind. It's just, pfft. I mean, that's all there is to it. But scripture is not just a puff of wind. These verses we've been reading are not just a puff of wind. The time will come when God will do this, when he'll destroy the wicked from the earth and they'll be gone. Psalm 107 and verse 42 says, the righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Now think of all the many mouths wickedness and iniquity has today. Think of all the wickedness we see in the movies and on television. All the wickedness written about in books, written about in literature like magazines and on the internet. All the many, many voices pouring out an unending stream of corruption, of wickedness, of iniquity. And just think that this mighty stream of wickedness is someday going to be stopped. These wicked mouths will be closed for good. God will shut them all up. And that'll be the end of all their constant spewing of iniquity. What a day that will be. I believe in the book of Daniel, it says the same thing. In Daniel 9 and verse 24, the famous prophecy of the 77s, or the 70 weeks of years. The 490 years, or I believe if we add in the Jubilee years, it's 500 years of Daniel's 77s. It says in Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks are determined for your people and your holy city. For what? He says, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins. And this tells us that throughout these 490 years or these 500 years, transgression is going to be finished and sin is going to be ended. So there's a 500-year period coming in the nation of Israel when there will be no transgression and there will be no sin. Yes, God is going to bring sin and wickedness and iniquity to an end. So though many people may find it hard to believe, the Bible declares it most clearly, that this powerful and seemingly unending flood of wickedness and iniquity, of unrighteousness and lawlessness and rebellion against God that we see on earth on every hand, that this is not going to be allowed to continue forever. The Bible gives the clear message that someday God is going to step in and end it all at once. Someday wickedness will come to an end, and the very wicked people themselves who promoted it will give themselves a tongue lashing for the insanity they've shown in their wickedness. God promises that this will be in passage after passage in the Bible. And again, it's our job, if we're to call ourselves believers, it's our job not to question it, but to believe it. God will end iniquity.
It's a wonderful thing to understand what Scripture actually teaches about the future of this earth and the people upon it. If we believe the Bible to be the Word of God, then we must believe that one day iniquity and wickedness will forever be destroyed upon this earth. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on The Wicked Stopped. On our next program, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the why question with God Ends Iniquity. Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that this program motivates you to study God's Word more. This will cause you to know and love God more. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We also offer a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this radio program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org and ask to be placed on his mailing list. You can also write to us with Bible questions or comments. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread Bible Studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to the Word of Truth Ministry at P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. I've been your host, Bob Juneau, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. So long, but we look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.